I'm fascinated by the way these guys, and Smitty used the word, I think, with you on radio and with me on television, resilient. How about, you know, the way these guys play, they just kind of withstand everything. I don't know if that's something that's installed this year, something we've seen. It's kind of who they are, though. We were talking about that this morning. They've done this more than once now and found ways to win when they're not playing their best, and it's a hell of a trademark to have.
Well, and that's the thing is you've got to – I guess ultimately that's some of the things that you talk about is you want to hang your hat on some things when things aren't going right. Do you have the DNA to win football games or win games or win moments of games when you're not at your best? And certainly there were some moments within this game that didn't bode well, but the team continued, as you said, to stay resilient and found a way to get a W.
Coach, I said yesterday at the end of the game – They sell these things. They come in all shapes and sizes. They offer them for sale mostly on Sundays. They offer them about 1 o'clock and at 4 o'clock, sometimes on Mondays, occasionally on Thursdays. Your goal is to buy one every week, right?
Yep.
And you won this week.
We did, and it was not pretty. But we were able to get it done. It was one of the most unique games that I've been involved with in terms of the ebbs and flows. We didn't start very fast. Things didn't go our way. We just kept grinding, made some more mistakes, made some plays. And there in the fourth quarter when we had to do it, we were able to put a drive together there at the end. And that was a good defensive football team that we faced yesterday. Yeah. Really, really good, Dean.
Smitty, when you look at how much do you guys evaluate – and we've had a number of texters here in the first half hour two of the show. Mike and I were fielding, wondering about the last three times out, or the last two times out. I guess you could consider the Raiders too, where as you come out, it's not that snowball rolling down the hill like you normally see offensively, where you just storm down the field and win and put points on the board. I guess you call it a flat start, if you want to call it a flat start. How much credit is due to the opposition, because you just talked about how good this team was defensively, and how much of it is it on the Falcons, where they just don't come out as quickly as you'd like?
Well, believe me, we've done some soul searching since last night in terms of why we haven't started fast. And I look back, and it was the Oakland game. I believe even the Carolina game, and there's a correlation that comes to my mind, and that was at their 1 o'clock games. Is there something, you know? Then my next question is, okay, is there something to a 1 o'clock game? Are we doing the right things, making sure that we're there at the right time? I don't know, but I tell you, we're turning over every stone. We were flat, but they were ready to go. And two of the three teams that we're talking about where we didn't start fast. We're coming off bye weeks, so can that be something? Do we have to have a little different way that we approach it on game day in terms of our preparation? Believe me, when things don't go our way, we try to turn over every stone to see if there's if there's an answer to the question, especially when you don't play like you want to play. And yesterday, we were very fortunate to get the win. And that's a unique game, and we got the win.
Mike Smith, Coach's Show, presented by Superior Plumbing. Don't forget, they're always on time. The Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUM, P-L-U-M. First play of the game is just, it's there. It's bounced up. Boom, they're going the other way. And then all of a sudden, we talked about sudden change a couple of times, but in previous years, not really this year. Your defense yesterday did a really nice job with sudden change, given everything they were battling. And as you said, the ebb and flow of the game, the sudden change concept was something your defense, I thought, handled pretty well.
We did after the first one. Mm-hmm. The first sudden change, that was going from an explosive play on the offensive side where the ball gets batted up and it's intercepted and it's run back in the end zone. And we didn't go out there and play well on defense. They score in two plays. But there were five other sudden changes in that ball game. When you have six turnovers, there's five, there was five more, and we won all five of those. And some of those were on the plus side of the 50. Some of them were actually in the red zone. And when you either knock them out and make them punt or you force them to attempt the field goal, those are wins when the drive starts inside the red zone. And the defense did a really nice job. We had two plays, two explosive plays, a 50-plus yard run and a 42-yard run that kind of stick in our crawl, just not the way you want to play run defense. And we have to continue to work to get better at defending the run, because right now on the defensive side of the ball, those explosive runs have really hurt us.
I think whenever you have a player of Sean Witherspoon's caliber out of a game, I think that those that are kind of looking on the outside, looking in, want to try to blame all the shortcomings on one player being on the not being on the field, and that's couldn't be further from the truth. As you start looking at breaking down what teams are starting to try to do to you, and it looked like, certainly in the last 2 weeks, there was a concerted effort by New Orleans to try to get in that cutback. In fact, they almost tried to block the cutback to get back there. And Stevens Howling did a nice job of finding the cutback lane on the two explosive runs. How do you address that type of situation?
Well, you've got to be very sound in your gap control. And Dave, you're exactly right. The plays have started closed and have wound back to the open side, meaning starting to the tight end side and winding back to the open side. And you've got to try to knock the line of scrimmage back into the offensive backfield, but at the same time taking your gap. It's not just knocking the line of scrimmage back. You've got to take your gap. And as you know, every player is assigned a gap. And there's eight gaps in an offensive front. And sometimes we're trying to defend it with eight people. Sometimes we're trying to defend it with seven people. And we have got to address it. And it starts with controlling the line of scrimmage. And then making sure that if you have that eighth defender, that you're getting the ball to wind back to him because he's unblocked. And that's what happened on the long run right before halftime. The ball wound back all the way back out the back door. We had an unblocked defender. They cracked our strong safety, and we missed the tackle. And usually explosive plays are not well-executed plays by the offense. They're usually mistakes by the defense. You know, there's going to be a handful of plays that are going to be well-executed on the offensive side of the ball, and this is my defensive background speaking here. It's either going to be a mistake, a missed tackle, missed leverage. Very rarely is it blocked perfectly and the play goes
right
the way it's designed.
The concepts of the ball game yesterday, and Dave and I were remarking throughout the course of the game, not only did you have the turnovers, then you went to the bizarre and the sublime at times, even down to and I know you talked after the ball game about the mental error you made, challenging the play that, you know, had not yet been reviewed. And by the way, we said on the air at the time, brand new caveat to the rule this year for the first time and things like that. Smitty, when you talk about a focus of a team, how important is it, the mental side, when there are little slips at times? What do you take this week from that standpoint? Not the X's and O's, and we talk about those all the time, but the mental strength this team showed yesterday to win that game has got to be something you and your staff talk about.
Oh, no doubt about it. There were many times to throw your hands up and go, hey, this isn't our day. It's just not going to happen. Oh, woe is me. Why? You know, the ball's not bouncing our way. You've got to have that mental toughness and that resolve, and that's what these guys they do that, and they've done it since we've been here. We're always going to play hard, and we're going to play for 60 minutes. And most of the time, when you do that, you're going to like the outcome. And this one was a little bit tougher because we were coming off of a tough defeat there in New Orleans. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is not losing back-to-back football games. And we know that if we don't lose back-to-back football games, we're probably going to be where we want to be at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because if you can put a couple streaks together, you're going to like where you're at. It was a test yesterday. It was a test of our mental fortitude, and I thought that we did a very good job.
Can you quantify how good, and I've talked a little bit about, and I can talk a little bit more superlatives than maybe you can as far as quantifying a particular team. I think that this Cardinal defense is as good a defense as you're going to face maybe all year long. I thought they were very – and maybe the makeup of what they do from a schematic standpoint and the matchups, how big they are in the secondary to defend maybe against the Tony Gonzalez. It was almost like it was kind of a little bit of a perfect storm for them to try to defend this offense.
Well, they've got an outstanding defense, and Coach Horton – Ray Horton did a very nice job presenting some unscouted looks coming off of the bye week. We knew they were going to pressure us. They gave us a couple looks that we didn't really identify the right way early on. Had a couple of throws we'd like to have back. And I think we settled in. I thought our pass protection was really good. But this defense is as good as any defense in the National Football League.
Yeah.
They've got guys at all three levels. They got the big guys up front that can create havoc, create double teams. And then they got a linebacker, the inside linebacker, that is playing extremely well. And then probably the most physical secondary that we faced all year. You're exactly right. That they get themselves in situations where they can match up with almost any offensive group that you put out there.
I know you look at individual matchups or team matchups from week to week and really get excited about it, your passion for the game and trying to dissect that and see where you can attack. Is there something that Arizona did particularly this weekend that you say, okay, well, wait a minute, we got to make sure that we address this because this is a copycat league. We know that defenses are looking at, hey, they were successful at this. We're going to see if they can cover it. Is there something in particular that they did that you may see relatively quickly, maybe as early as next weekend?
Well, there's going to be a lot of similarities, believe it or not, to this to Tampa Bay's defense and Arizona. They don't blitz as much, but they put the thing together very similar. Coach Ciano is a defensive coach. He's got a defensive background. Bill Sheridan was a longtime coach with the New York Giants, and they have a very good pressure package. They want to create a new line of scrimmage. They want to be aggressive. They don't want to sit back and read. And that was the thing that I thought that the Cardinals did a nice job yesterday is they put the pressure on us right from the get-go, and they were the leading blitzing team coming into the game, and I think they probably left here.
They didn't change their personality.
Yeah, they didn't change their personality, and they probably increased their lead.
All right, Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing continues in a moment from Flowery Branch. Don't forget, you can send us a text at 77530 for our Buckhead Beef player guest, Robert McLean. VRUS Auto Sales, you tell us, text line. Don't forget, Monday night, you get the 49ers and Bears tonight out west, and Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back and perfect for tonight's game. Get any pizza, any size, any toppings, $10 when you order out at Pizza Hut. Back with more from Coach Mike Smith after this on 790 The Zone.
It's in the box. Here's Lindley looking to throw. Sails it to the back shoulder for Fitzgerald, who makes the catch and then dropped the ball. Incomplete. It was the hit from William Moore. Fitzgerald had it, but the Calvin Johnson rule kicked in.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And our SunTrust Bank defensive solid play of the game from William Moore. SunTrust helps you stay in control of your money. SunTrust lives solid and bank solid. Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us here in the first half hour. And then Robert McLean's going to join us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Smitty, I want to give you a second just to talk about what Bobby Mack, as the guys in the locker room call him. Bobby Mack has meant to this team just because of his versatility, and yesterday was probably as good an example of how valuable he is to Coach Nolan and that defensive staff.
Yeah, Robert has done a really good job. He was signed as a future last year. It bounced around a little bit, and played a little bit, but made our team and made our roster. Ended up being a guy that we felt like just through what he had shown during the preseason was a guy that deserved an opportunity. Where we're playing him as a backup corner, and then after the injury to Brent Grimes, we made a move to move him into our nickel back, and he's done a great job. And talk about versatility. He had to line up at left corner, right corner, nickel, and dime for us yesterday because we had a number of injuries there in the secondary that we were dealing with, and we didn't miss a beat. And Robert's done a very good job on special teams. He's does a good job as a gunner and as a vice, and he's on what we call our big four. And what I mean by that is it's our punt protection, our punt return, kickoff cover, and kickoff return, and he's a guy that we use in all four of those segments of special teams.
Before we get move on to Tampa and talking about Tampa, Smitty, your opponent on Sunday, I want to ask you a little bit about what I saw and and I've obviously got it incorrect, but it looked to me like Arizona was getting back to a four-man wedge on the kickoff return. It was, you know, the whole two-man thing. But by the time your guys got there, it was a four-man wedge, and I called it out early in the game. I said, wait a minute, that's an illegal deal. Was I wrong about that? I
mean, well, that gets to be a little bit gray in terms of they put two-man wedges and somehow they kind of merged together.
Right.
And some teams have that, in their philosophy. And we were very inconsistent yesterday in our kickoff cover. You know, they knocked that one out to the plus 36-yard line, mm-hmm. and it was a breakout wedge that was a four-man wedge. It's a very tough thing to officiate.
Okay.
But what they basically say is as long as they're two or 3 yards apart, then it's legal.
Yeah, I didn't see the 2 or 3 yards. So
yeah,
well, that was just me.
I'm not. I can't comment on it.
I understand. I just wondered if I had the rule right. I knew that they weren't abiding by the rule. I wanted to make sure I got the rule right.
It's fitting you use the term gray area with Archer, Smitty. To be honest with you,
there was no gray area.
There was no gray area with Dave on that yesterday.
When you look at what's coming up, Smitty, and obviously this is a Tampa team that. New staff, new regime. How much, first of all, does that affect? You obviously got a bank of games here now where you can look at who they are, I would assume, from a personality standpoint.
Oh, without a doubt. They've played 10 football games, and they've won 6 of them. Mm-hmm. Coach Shiano and his staff have done a really good job. I think it starts with what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. I think Josh Freeman, who 2 years ago had an outstanding season, I think took a step back in terms of what his productivity was and their team's productivity, and that led to Coach Shiano coming in. They've got 2 good wide receivers. They got a rookie running back that's running the ball very efficiently right now. And in Doug Martin, he went over 1,000 yards on Sunday. So they are a very good football team, and their record indicates it. And Coach Shiano's done a great job down there. Defensively, I've been very impressed with what they do up front. It's very hard to run the football on them. They've given up some yards in the passing game, but they've had a lot of injuries, and they traded a corner out about 3 or 4 weeks ago that left their team. But they're one of the top 3 teams in terms of rushing yards. It's hard to run the ball on those guys.
Smitty, you talked this 10 games in now, and you mentioned Bill Sheridan, the defensive coordinator, Mike Sullivan, also a former Giant assistant, the offensive guy. Bill Lasheski, who's bounced around several NFL teams as their special teams guy. But you've now got 10 games, as opposed to week 2, week 3, you've got a little bit more to which you can kind of build some tendencies with, I'm guessing.
Oh, without a doubt. And Mike Sullivan's a very good football coach. I worked with Mike in Jacksonville before he left and went to the Giants and worked with Coach Coughlin. Very intelligent coach, was a quarterback coach with Eli Manning, so he has a very good working relationship with quarterbacks, and he's doing a heck of a job with Josh Freeman right now. But we do have a body of work. We know what they're about. They know what we're about. When you start to get to this time of the season in late November, early December, it's a time that you have a pretty good idea. There's not going to be a whole lot of surprises. It's going to be about who goes out and executes and plays the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Well, and it's a team. You just mentioned Doug Martin, excellent football player out of Boise State. How much more difficult does it make for them to defend, make you have to defend them when you got a 3-down back, a guy that's not going to come out of the game on 3rd down, outstanding receiver?
Well, it makes it very difficult because when you've get the guy that's a change of pace back and comes in on 3rd down, then you can match your substitution, and you're not able to do that with Doug. He has got great vision. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball well out of the backfield, and he can pass protect. He's not, he's not a real tall guy. We did a whole lot of work on him when he was coming out. Had a great career there at Boise State. Catches the ball probably a lot better than people give him credit for. It's not just his ability to run. They're going to get the ball into his hands in the screen game and some of the short passes as well.
Interesting, the personality of this football team, not just the coaching change. You mentioned Martin. Vincent Jackson comes over from San Diego. Rondé Barber goes from corner to safety, the ageless wonder.
Yeah.
And you start thinking, well, okay, that's not a big deal. But really, in reality, Smitty, 3-4 moves, and that can change the way a team approaches things.
Oh, no doubt. Adding Vincent Jackson with Williams, Mike Williams, the receiver that they had last year, that gives them a very potent one.
And Dallas
one,
Clark,
two
too, I guess.
And they added Dallas Clark, who is a receiving tight end. And Vincent Jackson creates some matchup issues because he is a big, tall, thick wide receiver. I think he's in the top 10 right now already in receptions. Mm. I think he's got 7 touchdown passes. Right. So he's a guy that in the red zone, they're going to make sure that they get the ball to him.
Smitty, obviously when you get to this point of the season, things get a little bit skewed a little bit because guys are getting banged up. Obviously, McClure went down with an ankle, came back and played for you. Asante was banged up. We know about the two receivers got a little banged up. You've got a running, hopefully a linebacker is going to come back. Everybody dealing with those kind of things. What does that do? You've done such a good job of managing the back end of seasons to make sure your team is ready to play on Sunday. And now you've got a condensed situation, yeah. Sunday, Thursday. Yeah. How does that change things for you?
Well, I tell you, it kind of changes the way you've really started to approach the game against Arizona, believe it or not. When you start talking about 3 games within 15 days, and that's what you're looking at, playing on Sunday and then mm-hmm. Sunday and then coming back and playing on Thursday. So, believe it or not, some of the decisions that we made this past week on Friday and Saturday had a lot to do with the Sunday-Thursday
right.
game, the games coming up. The number of snaps that Julio Jones played in the ball game yesterday were predicated on what's happening on Sunday and Thursday, meaning we've got games coming up. And it's very difficult. The Sunday-Thursday turnaround is a tough one. And we're getting ready to go down on the road, and you have the distractions of Thanksgiving, in terms of our Thursday's not going to be a normal Thursday. It's not going to be the normal routine. But I think our guys will handle it really well. They have so far. And we know that when you play an NFC South game, you better bring your A game, because if you don't, you're not going to like the outcome of the ball game.
Well, it'll be 2 weeks before you're back with us. We won't have a show because of the quick week next week. But we thank you for the time as always, and good luck on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Falcons head coach Mike Smith. When we continue with more of the Mike Smith Coaching Show.
Text your questions to Wes and Dave now on the U.S. Auto Sales text line at 77530.
Shifting around on that front. Manning looks, going to sail it down the field. It's picked again. Robert McClain, 20, 25, 30. McClain, 35. McClain, 40. Still on his feet, 47-yard line. I mean, Robert McClain's wearing a name tag in this game, and he comes away with an interception. Hello, my name is Robert.
Unbelievable.
I didn't have to introduce his name anymore now.
Sorry.
He's playing all over the place now.
Sorry, Robert, my fault. I got a little excited on the third one. I'm not going to lie to you, all right?
I understand.
Robert McClain's with us in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. He'll get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate. I don't know if you knew all this. Oh, yeah. Buckhead Beef gift certificate.
It'll fill you up right here.
Freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and without doubt, yesterday you deserve it. How many snaps you think you played yesterday?
I don't think. My coach told me my 70-something.
I believe
snaps.
It.
With special teams combined, too, so. My body feels it, though.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that, when injuries happen, Asante goes down with the shoulder. You're already the nickel. You're coming in on every third down situation, mm-hmm. playing all the special teams. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing every snap at corner, and still having to play all the special team stuff. You said you enjoy that. You enjoy being on the field regardless of what the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy being on the field because it feels as though anytime I'm going to be able to make that play, you have to expect to make the play. Like our special teams coach always tells us, be out there, be hungry for the ball, be hungry for make a play, and just expect it to come your way. And getting more snaps just gives you more opportunities.
And then when the Grimes injury occurs in week one at Kansas City, you're the next guy up. I mean, you're the guy. How fast did the track start moving then?
Well, I've always kind of kept that fast track in my head. I mean, I know being in the league a while, that injuries happen anytime.
Sure.
And at any time you'd be ready to take that role and be out there ready to play. And I mean, when it happened, it was unfortunate. But I was always prepared and always studying as though I was going to play that week, even though I was inactive that game.
Rob, what kept it going now? Your seventh round draft pick back in, what, 2010 with Carolina.
Yes.
So you've been in the league a couple years and trying to find that right niche, that right fit. And it seems like this is the place. What kept you going, though, when things weren't quite the way you wanted them the first couple seasons?
Just the motivation to prove people wrong that I can be a successful player in the NFL. I had a Coach Fox. We had a bad year my first year with Coach Fox, but he's a great coach, and he's doing great things with Denver now. And I just had to, get adjusted, get my first 2 years under me and kind of get adjusted in a way with how things were with the systems and the players and, kind of the competition I'm going against. But I've always had that work ethic, even when I was in UConn. I wasn't always starting at UConn at the outside corners. I was always at nickel. And when I did get my opportunity to start at the left corner spot on bases, that's when I, took advantage of it like I did here.
Robert, I don't think that people understand sometimes, and Dave mentioned it, drafted by the Panthers. You stay a year there. You're with Jacksonville a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you play in the game for Jacksonville here against Atlanta late in the year on a Thursday night. Then all of a sudden – what, in late January, mid-January, I guess, you get the opportunity to come here. Is that right?
Yeah, they Jacksonville released me before the last game, I believe that Thursday or Friday, and they were going to play. I believe they were going to offer me a future contract. I mean, they had released me through the roster spot.
Sure.
My offensive lineman got hurt before the game, and I wasn't down about it. I knew I still had other opportunities that were going to come upon in the offseason, and Atlanta offered me a future contract. Detroit did, and Jacksonville, what I believe we're planning on to. And my agent kind of suggested I go to Atlanta Falcons, and I'm glad I kind of went with this pick and my choice.
What's that kind of uncertainty like, though? A couple years in the league, and you're already with two teams, and you're getting ready to play for a third. People look at it on paper, and they'll see 3 in 3 years, but you've never lost confidence in what your ability is.
Yeah, I've never lost confidence. Just like I said, I have to – me personally, I always strive to be better than somebody who I know I'm better than, or who I see has the skills to where I can use and can make myself better. I look at downs and so much stuff we've been through. I've been through at UConn. I look at that stuff as ways of uprising.
It's the player spotlight here on the Mike Smith Show. Robert McClain here with Wes and I on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You've heard this name mentioned a lot, Robert McClain, and you will continue to hear his name mentioned now as we move forward. Rob, what has it been like with this team? It's a secondary. You've got kind of the old man of the secondary, I guess, in Asante Samuel, and then there's Dante Robinson in the middle. But there's a lot of young guys on this team. How much fun has this group been to be with?
It's fun, man. It's fun. Just the team chemistry. And my first time, when I first got here in April, just the team chemistry and how everybody is together laughing and, having fun, but still also onto their work, grinding and getting ready for the season, preparing their bodies and preparing themselves and their minds for the game. And just being around all that and kind of how it's, they kind of reminded me, it's still football, we take it serious, but, we still go out there and have fun every day, have fun every day in practice and have fun at the games. And being around Dante Robinson, Asante Samuels, Brent Grimes, Thomas Dekou, Willie Moore, I've learned so much from just everybody as a group and everybody individually. I talk to them all the time about certain stuff and why they broke on the play this way, or why Asante played that certain technique in like a cover two or a man technique or something like that. But I nitpick at all of them, trying to get little things from them and trying to put that towards my game.
Well, and then you flip it over to the other side, and no disrespect to Jacksonville or to Carolina from a receiver score standpoint, a receiver core standpoint. But now all of a sudden you look up and there's Roddy White standing in there, or here comes Julio Jones, or here comes Harry Douglas. That's got to be pretty good for you as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good practicing against them every day. Roddy's pro bowler, Julio pro bowler, Harry eventually will be a pro bowler also, and the pro bowl quarterback and tight end Sony Gonzalez, and being around this system and these great players, I have no choice but to get better competing against them every day.
Well, you must have done something right, because it wasn't long before we started hearing about Bobby Mack. So tell us where Robert McClain became Bobby Mack, because it's almost like an alter ego.
Yeah.
When they start screaming Bobby Mack at practice or even during the games, what are you thinking?
I mean, I'm just – most time I don't hear them yelling my names during the games. I'm more of the time just focused on, what's happening next, what's going to – what the offense is going to do next. But Bobby Mack came. I'm not sure exactly which player it came from, but I know a couple guys seeing my Twitter name, Bobby Mack, to ask questions why they call him Bobby, who calls him Bobby, stuff like that. And it kind of just, you know, carried on from there.
Well, from the family, it's Robert McLean, and Robert will go to Christmas. You know, he'll enjoy Christmas with the family potentially, or Thanksgiving Day. But on the fields, when you put the cape on and you become Bobby Mack,
when I come into this facility and I come into the stadium, it's Bobby Mack.
There you go.
Bobby Mack. So.
I love that.
Unbelievable. Great to have Robert McLean with us. You mentioned at UConn, you guys were kind of going through the football transition when you were there. I mean, you signed up for the ground floor a little bit. You've gotten to this franchise, and obviously things have gone well for the last 4 years, and now here in year five, it's on the upswing.
Yeah.
What did you learn in your college experience on that foundation building that served you well here?
I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from being around that system at UConn. Coach Etzel is a great coach, and he brought a great staff with him.
Yeah.
And just the how he nitpicked at doing the small things right, kind of built that base to UConn football. And my first year, we were 4-8, I believe, and you know, we knew the mistakes we made. A couple guys could kick off the team that moved. I actually came to UConn as a running back, and switched over to defense that following year, going into my sophomore year. And that next year, we shared the Big East title with West Virginia. We headed to another bowl game that following year in Toronto against Buffalo. My senior year, we played on South Carolina, our first SEC team, and beat them in a bowl game. So, I mean, just things that Etzel drilled into us every day, you know, doing the little things right, doing this right, doing that right, coming to meetings early and stuff like that. I kind of use that as I do now.
Falcons defensive back Robert McLean with us here on Sports Radio 790 Zone, the player spotlight here on the Mike Smith Show. West Durham, Dave Archer. Robert, when you look at what went down yesterday, I know you were so caught up in what you needed to do from a job standpoint, and it expanded exponentially when injuries started happening. How much were you aware that your offense was in the fight of its life and it wasn't really operating very well and you guys really needed to carry the load defensively?
We're slightly aware of what the offense is doing, but mainly our job is to go out there and stop them from scoring. The offense does what they do, and we go out there and we do our job. And no matter where the ball is placed, I mean, I was talking to Thomas after the game, and I was saying how Thomas and Dante Robinson, and we were saying, hey, no matter where they place the ball, we're going to go out there and play ball. Our job is not to let them score. And if they're in good field position to score points, we're going to hold them off to only 3 points. So, I mean, we go out there, we do our jobs, and we just play the technique, and we play the call that's being called, and that's what we did.
There were a couple short field situations yesterday.
A couple.
Yeah. I mean, you guys had to lock it down a little bit.
Yeah, they were a good amount. You know, we ran on the field focused. We snapped our helmets on. Let's go. I mean, we wanted to win the game. You know, we had that nasty taste in our mouth from last game against New Orleans. And we didn't want to have that feeling at the end of this game.
Yeah, from a field standpoint, I thought we were playing an arena game because every time they got the football, it was at about our 35 going in.
It was like a 50-yard field for a second. But
it's crazy.
You know, that's how games like that, it can happen anyway in the NFL. You know, a team could beat it. Like any team could lose at any time.
Sure.
You know, you have to be prepared.
Well, we'll take a break, come back more with Robert McLean coming up. And we've already heard from Mike Smith about how the short week here, the three games in less than 14 days, is going to impact – the coaching staff and how the run-up to it from a coaching perspective. We'll talk to Robert about how players are going to handle this situation. Sunday, Tampa, then turnaround from Thursday to the Thursday ball game with New Orleans here at the Georgia Dome. Robert McLean's our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Don't forget, you can text us a question for Robert at 77530. It's our U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line.
And incomplete. Or is it a fumble? It's a fumble. They're going to pick up the football, and Jonathan Babineau scores the touchdown.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience NFL football on your Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game.
Another of the sublime and bizarre from yesterday. You were on the field when that happened, right?
Yeah, I was definitely loafing that play. I didn't hear a whistle, but I was still kind of lollygagging around, and I should have been running to the ball. So I know I'm looking on that film and that note. And I'm about to start running to the ball faster. So that was a crazy play.
Well, Dante did a little kind of scoop and score and then say, well, I didn't get it.
And Babineau kind of finished the drill and then gets in the end zone and goes for the finger roll.
Yeah, Babs played it right. He didn't hear a whistle. He picked up the ball and ran into the end zone.
So veteran move by Babineau.
That's huge right there.
Robert McLean's with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. We were talking during the right. Now, I heard you like drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that just something that started when you were a kid and you keep going?
It started when I was a kid and it kind of runs in my family also. I've been drawing since, you know, fourth grade. And I'm taking the regular elementary school drawing classes and stuff. And, I mean, when I picked up that pencil, it just came natural to me, you know. A lot of people were drawing, like, the Dragon Ball Z characters, and I kind of started drawing it and kind of messing around with it and stuff, and it actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
When I was drawing it, so I just kept on from there, and I took classes in middle school that kind of improved my technique and certain stuff. So.
Do you stay active with it? I mean, is it something you do during the season, or is it something
for
the off season?
I probably have drawn probably 10 pieces this season. It's kind of tough being in season. I mean, we don't have a lot of days off for me to take time to draw, and I'm so exhausted sometimes. I don't even – it's only fun picking up a pencil, you know, all the notes we take on our opponents. But it's something I'll pick up here and there. I gotta really be in that mood, you know, to pick up a pencil and start drawing right now during the season.
So it's just a pencil piece. It's not like
pencil. Yeah, I'm not good at paints. Paints is kind of – I'm not too good with – mediums that, you know, are messy.
Yeah.
So paints is a lot of messy, and it takes a lot of stuff to do paint. You got to set up the paint and water and stuff like that. So I'd rather keep it simple, pen, ink, or charcoal.
Now, any of these guys in the locker room who, you know, coined you Bobby Mack, do they know about the drawing?
Yeah, most of the guys didn't know. I mean, once they started getting out there, really, and they started, you know, following me on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, they're like, oh, I didn't know you draw.
Yeah.
And next you know, everybody's like, oh, draw this, draw that. So I got a lot of orders. Got a lot of order.
It's our player spotlight here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. This is Mike Smith's coach's show. Robert McClain, cornerback of the Atlanta, cornerback and nickelback and dimeback and special teams ace with the Atlanta Falcons here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. Rob, we talked about a little bit about your high school career, and we kind of like to let the fans kind of get to know some of the guys, and you're one of those guys, a new guy to the team. Mm-hmm. Really good high school football player in college, obviously in high school, and that's why you obviously went on to play at the college level. But you were really good on both sides of the football now, all league player, both defensive back and running back. You said you thought you were going to go as a running back to mm-hmm. college. You didn't. Now, the other part we didn't know is the kick return thing.
Yeah. I was one short of the national record in high school for kick returns in the season.
And so that's just not kickoff returns, that's punt returns.
Yeah, I had one punt return. I had one punt return for 95, and I had five kick returns. They called one back, so I stepped out of bounds. Then the last three games, they stopped kicking to me, but kind of picked up a squib and took that one back.
They quit kicking to you.
Yeah. So they started, you know, squibbing them, and one squib past the wedge, I picked that one up, scored on that one.
But nice.
Yeah,
went through the wedge, and you got it.
Yeah, I was telling the front line guys, hey, just let it slide by. Let me try to get it. I didn't even know about the record until, like, to the third to the last game. So
see, we got fans out there that are always trying to tweak the team and
fix the team
and stuff. Now that they know you can return kicks, they're going to be calling for you for punt returns and all sorts of stuff.
Well, I'm just going to play my role wherever my coach tells me to do. I'm going to play.
Very politically correct.
Do you look at games and when you get ready for games and stuff like that, do you see them differently? And here we are talking about Tampa on Sunday and then New Orleans on Thursday. Just played New Orleans, which will help, obviously. Mm-hmm. How do you guys – is it as much mental as it is physical? We were talking earlier, you're sore a little bit today, get the recovery workout, a massage. How important is that here in the next 10 days to 2 weeks?
It's important. You know, you have to do the right things to prepare yourself for the game, but you have to prepare yourself for the game that's upcoming, but you also have to mentally have that other niche in the back where you say, okay, I also have to prepare myself for that next game because it's going to be a quick turnaround. You just have to do the right things this week, prepare, be healthy, keep hydrated for the Tampa game. It's going to be warm down there. Do anything we need to do to kind of prepare ourselves and prepare our bodies because it's going to be – it's shocking. You know, we go out there, we exert all of our energy, mm-hmm. and then we have to have the proper rest time too, so we have to properly be able to rest our bodies.
Rob, how much will this change or will it change for you? I know you're always preparing as if you're going to start anyway, but there's a real possibility that you could – you may be starting a corner on Sunday. I don't know what's going on with Asante. Regardless, you're going to be playing a number of snaps anyway. But mm-hmm. how much does that change your mindset, and how much will you lean on some of the veteran players that have gone through maybe this short scenario, Sunday, Thursday game, to get yourself ready to play?
It doesn't really change my mindset a lot, whether I'm going to be playing a small amount of snaps or a large amount of snaps. I always have, just like I said, I always have that mindset as though I'm going to be playing a lot. So, I won't be shocked if I'm playing a lot or a little. But, I kind of know just going through – My whole rookie year, I mean, I played that whole season, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of bouncing back playing against. I think we play at Pittsburgh on Thursday night. It's kind of it happens fast, and you know, you really have to do a lot to kind of mentally prepare yourself, also physically. Mm-hmm. And anything that the team offers, massages, recovery workouts, you know, you have to do them, protein shakes to kind of get that recovery back. You want to take advantage of it.
Now, this is your third year in the league, so it's not your first rodeo. You've been around some stuff. You just mentioned your rookie year in Carolina and what you went through there. How much is there a real rookie wall in your mind? Do young guys their first year in the league, does that when you get into about week six? I guess you get into week 10.
Yeah, week 10.
All of a sudden, here it comes.
Yeah, you're thinking, oh, bowl game, stuff like that. But next thing you know, you got four more games. And, you know, it's different in NFL because the guys are really – I mean, this is our job. You know, we're laying on the line every play. So it's not like, you know, in college, you know an opponent, and you take a couple plays off here and there. There's no taking plays off in the NFL. And I hit that rookie wall around week 13, week 14. I was like, man, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Man. And you know, we didn't have a great season, so that kind of took in a toll also. You know, guys they were replacing guys, bringing new guys in. You kind of see the different, you know, the business part of the NFL also. But it's every game you're fighting every play.
Let me you're an interesting person to ask this question, cuz 2 years ago you were in this division playing for the Panthers. Last year you played the Falcons when you were with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
This is a desirable franchise for guys in this league. And a few years ago when Dave and I first started doing the games, it was because of Mr. Blank's ownership and some of the things he was building that were in addition to the team that was going to try and be competitive every year.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it – you just said earlier you had a futures opportunity with two or three other teams. What was it about Atlanta?
Atlanta's a strong team. They've had successful seasons. Just being in this conference and also being able to play against my teammates against Carolina also. But
yeah.
It's a strong team, and they have good coaches, they have good players, and they've kind of shown to bring in that underdog kind of guy like Grimes and, you know, building up and watching him do his thing. And I'm glad my agent kind of suggested me to come into this team also. I mean, I feel as though I made the right choice.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. Kind of looking at it from a perspective of what other guys have been able to rise to prominence for this team. And Brent is a great example. Was on the practice squad. Next thing you know, goes to the Pro Bowl. How much, Rob, do you look at the team? How quickly do you get on to the next team? They talk about 24-hour period. When do you personally start looking at Tampa Bay? Have you kind of let this other one soak in? You mentioned the fact that the body's sore. That maybe take precedence over watching it on film. When do you start clicking in and start looking at stuff?
Once that game ends, once I see 0-0 hill on that clock, that next morning I'll be getting ready for, you know, Tampa. That game's passed. I mean, we'll learn from the mistakes. We'll improve on the things we did bad and improve on the things we did good. But it's time to get on to the next opponent. You know, there's no time to look back and trying to recognize what you put that on like a pedestal of that last game. You got to get ready for the next opponent.
Right.
It's interesting because you mentioned the coaches here. Mike Nolan, obviously the coordinator. Tim Lewis is a great secondary coach.
Yes.
I bet you've learned a lot there, huh?
I've learned a lot from him. He was a great player also. My dad tells me about when Coach Lewis was playing, and he's a great player. And just like I said, being around his team and the coaches, I've learned a lot.
Great to have you here. Thanks. Appreciate your time on a Monday.
Thank you. No problem.
It's a guy, hey, listen for this guy's name.
Oh,
he's going to be all over the field. He's already has been all over the field.
Yeah, first pick on Peyton Manning. That's a bad way to ride, huh?
I know, our first career.
Your text message didn't blow up on that one, did they?
Oh, my phone was almost lost battery. Almost lost my battery on my phone.
That's Thanks, cool. Robert. Appreciate it. Robert McClain with us, the Falcon Coaches Show, presented by Superior Plumbing. Stay tuned. Three more hours of Archer and Belt? No, just two. Just two. Some places three. Here only two today. Coming up on 790 The Zone.